As we talked about at the beginning of this podcast, one cannot talk about YA without speaking of its readers because the category has been created for its readers. And there's no doubt that the readers of YA have had an incredible impact on our understanding of the category. So before we talk to our three readers of YA, I just wanted to give all of my listeners a little bit of context on how large and how incredible these readers are. So in the first quarter of 2021, according to an article in Words Rated, over 8 million young adult books were sold, which was a 60% increase from the 5 million books that were sold in 2020. Since then, the numbers have only gone up. And we will be talking with Raquel Nasser in one of our interviews about why she thinks that is the reason. But it's safe to say that the YA readership is huge. Now, I have a question for you. Do you remember where you were July 21st, 2007? July 21st, 2007 was the day that the last Harry Potter book came out. Harry Potter is both the best-selling fantasy series of all time and just the best-selling series of all time. As of 2018, according to the article in Words Rated, the Harry Potter series has sold over 180 million books in the United States alone. That accounts for none of the books sold across other countries. Releases of both these books and these movies were met with fans who waited hours in line to get their copy of the book or to get in to see the movie. For those people, that wait was more than worth it because for these readers, these books weren't just a chunk of change. They were like watershed moments in their lives because they grew up as these books were coming out, or they read these books at a time when they felt like they were alone, kind of similar to my story when I read The Shadowhunters. And it's similar to some of the stories that you'll hear from readers later on in my interviews. But what a lot of people saw when they looked at this kind of like frenzied fandom that had grown around, say, Harry Potter or Twilight or The Hunger Games was just that. They just saw like this frenzied fandom and they thought like, oh, these are just hysterical teenagers who don't have anything better to do but obsess over these things. But what they didn't see behind that was the way that these stories had affected readers' conceptions of their self, how maybe they had pulled the readers through difficult times, or how they represented their childhood, their innocence, this time of freedom, and how maybe they ended up being the fuel for readers who, like myself, fell in love with books because of reading these young adult books. We will never have a true layered understanding of the impact of these books by looking surface level. So what I attempt to do with these reader interviews is untangle the complex relationship between readers and the books that they consume. And this is derived from Janice Radway's Reading the Romance, which is a reception study. And a reception study basically does just that. It just wants to untangle what happens between a certain audience and a certain book that they read. So Radway did this with women and romance novels. And what I am going to do in the reader interviews is do it with readers and young adult books. Now, you might think, okay, so you're going to be interviewing teenagers. In fact, I am not going to be interviewing teenagers. This is both for legal reasons, as well as because, well, you might find this hard to believe, but the majority of young adult literature readers are, in fact, not young adults. A study by Publishers Weekly found that 55% of buyers of works that publishers designated for kids 12 to 18 are, in fact, 18 years or older. And the largest segment of those people are ages 30 to 44, and that group accounted for 28% of YA sales alone. Now, you're probably saying, okay, maybe like those 30 or 40-year-olds were buying those books for their kids, but that same study actually reported that 78% of the time, this population were purchasing the books for their own reading. You're probably thinking, I thought that we had just established that these books were written for 12 to 18-year-olds with aspects that were entertaining for 12 to 18-year-olds. And that is true, but remember, we are not confining these books solely to that age range-based definition. And we truly cannot, because most of the people consuming these books don't even fit that definition. And the irony is that there's a huge group of adults who will write off young adult literature for any number of reasons, the ones that we have discussed previously, but they might be the very ones consuming it. Like, adults are the ones consuming it. So adults are shaming adults, and it's just a cycle of shame that we need to shut down. And I think that an important part of getting rid of that stigma and getting rid of that shame is openly talking about what makes these books special as readers, what they do for us as readers, how they make us feel. Bring the humanity out. We can learn so much from how readers interact with text, and we can learn about the text by learning about the readers. And moreover, we can learn about the cultural impact of these books, because at the heart of literature and at the heart of what we do when we study literature is we study people and we study culture, and books become cultural touchstones. They become moments that we can look back to and think, like, that was this historical moment. They signify the times, and readers' responses to those texts also signify the times. So in studying readers, we're studying the cultural impact of the books that they are consuming and the impact of readership itself. In talking to our three readers, we're going to get a fuller understanding of the impact of vocal readers and the books that they love.